Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment, I'll allow myself to cry, but not. Record and listen. So here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christina in Southern California.
Well, hello, Christina.
Hey, Christina.
Hi.
Long time.
I wasn't expecting to get on. Have you heard that before?
Yes. That rumor's going around.
Yeah. So I didn't do this assignment. I did yesterday's assignment. And what I saw was that I'm allowed to love but not hate. And so I was looking at the dualistic nature of it, and I don't see what comes up with the cry. But looking at that dualism, I kind of got to this place of, of what is love anyway?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and does it, if it's everything, does it also include hate? And, and so that's just kind of where I left it.
Mm-hmm. So looking at the duality, love, hate,
mm-hmm.
and then if love is everything, where does hate fit into that? And from the way you laid it out, I would suggest it fits in very nicely in the world of egocentric duality.
Does that imply then that it doesn't exist?
Well, it does exist in the world of egocentric duality.
Mm-hmm.
You know that thing that we play with regularly about, so you have a problem with something, you know, and it's a big problem with whatever it is. And then
mm-hmm.
you get involved in something and you forget all about it. So during
right.
that time, it doesn't exist. Now, of course,
mm-hmm.
egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate will argue that, well, of course it exists. Of course, because it's held somewhere out there somewhere as a thing. But
mm-hmm.
our experience says no, that it only exists when we turn attention to it, which is true of everything.
Right.
Everything only exists when we're attending to it. The rest of it is belief and assumption. Well, it must still be there because I turn my attention to it and there it is. So it must be somewhere. Yeah. So is this hanging together?
Well, it's so interesting. It is. No, it's absolutely hanging together. And I want to take it one step further, if I may. So
mm-hmm.
I rarely ever have any kind of physical ailments. You know, I get sick every
mm-hmm.
once in a while and that kind of thing. And earlier this week, I started experiencing really intense back pain behind, you know, in my scapula of my right shoulder. And I've had this maybe once before, but it's not something that I would say I'm plagued with or anything like that. And so I've been really looking at the pain associated with it and
mm-hmm.
seeing exactly what you're saying, that there are times where I'm so detached from it, not in the way that I'm ignoring it, but where
right.
I'm either
there's
focusing on the breath or just, you know, in conversation with one of my children or, you know, at work, I would be talking about it with someone.
It.
Yeah, you kind of forget about it, or you're in the relationship, the communication that's going back and forth with someone, for example, and you're so present to that that the sensation isn't, it almost seems like it's not there.
Yeah.
And so I've just been fascinated.
Well, which is really interesting, isn't it? That is exactly it. So it's almost as if it isn't there. Well, it gets very tricky, doesn't it? Because when you try to check that out, it is. It is there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't, it isn't. In other words, it's not your experience.
Right.
That is not in your realm of experience. You have to believe that it's there.
Okay.
When you're not actually experiencing it.
Right. And I literally have to pull my attention back to it. Or, you know.
Yes.
Take it back there.
Well, and your attention is drawn back to it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So
I'm
you're
reminded,
going along,
yeah.
And then there's the little, what about that pain in your shoulder? Oh,
mm-hmm.
There it is. But right before that little voice said that to you, you were not aware of it. It was not your experience. You were not struggling or suffering with it. So I'm suggesting that what's happening in that is that ego is pulling us into its dualistic little, in quotes, reality, its artificial little world that appears to exist within the larger context.
Yeah. Yep. And it's almost, and so what I get to see with all of that too is that the story is right there, and it says, just you wait, I can get worse. You know, you've heard stories about back pain getting worse. You know, I can really get in there.
Yes.
And
yes.
I can see that really is just, it's just a like an argument that's being made by, you know, I don't know, memory.
By somebody.
You know, I mean, it's
by somebody, in quotes, who is invested in having your attention.
Yeah.
So we were talking about that a little bit at the monastery last night. That relationship that we have with physical conditions, in quote. So I go back to my little dog, Tuffy, who developed arthritis in one of her front paws. And, of course, my thing at that point was, well, what should she take for it? What, you know, how do we take care of that? And the vet, enlightened soul that he was, said, don't do anything for it. When it hurts, she won't use it in the same way that she'll use it when it doesn't.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm.
So in other words,
there's some wisdom.
Maybe, yeah, there's some wisdom. In other words, instead of, this is something I have to treat out of existence, how about this is something that is helping me be present?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a quote up on the monastery wall in the dining hall kitchen up on the board about, and I don't remember it exactly, it was a poem, but about welcoming, you know, the robber into your house to free you of your goods, or, you know, whenever something terrible shows up at your door, open the door and welcome it with a big smile and say, thank you. You know, you're here to free me of something, to help me do
that. Yes, yes. Because as a person who can say, you know, I hardly ever have pain. I'm hardly ever sick.
Yes.
Now. So now would be a really good time to practice with how to be when things like this happen. Because if, you know, good Lord's willing, you'll be around for a lot of years in which you might have more opportunities to look at these issues. And we might as well practice when they're in the realm of fairly benign.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
thank you.
And when I see you next week or 10 days or whatever it is, I would love to continue this conversation because I have a few other things to ask you about.
Okay, terrific.
All right.
I'll remind
Good.
You.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank
you.
Because I often need that.
Yes.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Christina. You know, what fascinates me about that, or that whole conversation, right, Sherry, is that ability to shift the orientation from the way we've always looked at something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's such a, to have a question about, well, what am I not allowed to do? I'm not allowed to hate. And then to pause and go, well, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Does hate not mm-hmm. exist? And then to mm-hmm. follow that path of inquiry to mm-hmm. some level of clarity about a process that creates a reality is just such a, it's such a liberating orientation. Same with the pain, right? My experience tells me something that my belief, that contradicts my belief. And so what do I do about that contradiction?
Right. Since just going with beliefs is not what I have chosen for my life.
Yeah, that when I'm paying attention, I'm often aware of the tension between the experience and the belief.
Mm-hmm.
And to recognize that tension as the place to look further for a perspective that resolves it.
Yes, where I am with that is in the opportunity that this provides
yeah.
for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very exciting.
It really is. Oh, go ahead.
Well, and I was just thinking that the structure of these questions is interesting in that, because if you really look at it, it's not actually pointing to a duality, but it's looking to what is coming up for me in, because the word but exists in that sentence. You know, that very process of what gets put together that actually may not actually be together.
Yes, and that but indicating that what really matters is whatever is going to come after the but. The but is there to negate what is in front of it, which is what ego would love to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, did I interrupt something you were going to say before that?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. No, we're good. Thank you.
Okay, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, it's Colin here.
Hello, Colin.
Hello there. Yeah, I found this one quite difficult, actually, crying. And I allow myself to cry, but not to talk about crying, maybe, is what I was seeing. And, that there's a kind of crying, like... poor wretched me, I'm really miserable crying, and there's that crying, but there's also some crying, miserable, it's more like if something is really sad, and it's to cry about that, or really poignant, or really touching, or moving, there's a crying or weeping that somehow there's a connection there, or there's a love there, I think that's what I was seeing. There's a kind of crying which is, it's not a suffering crying. It's more about connection than love.
Boy, that is so it, Colin. That in that poor, wretched me is just ego feeling in a pool of self-pity, attempting to make a stronger case for I really am the center of the universe because it's so hard for me. Everything is so hard for me, poor me, right? And the other one that you describe, and of course that one actually can be on display. Maybe not the tears, but certainly the story, the attitude, the demeanor of poor suffering succotash me is fine for people to see. In fact, it's good. It's important. But the other one, when we're moved to tears and to see what is behind that is the love, the connection, the empathy, really being deeply touched by the human condition and what everything that lives goes through. And it's just as different can be, isn't it?
Yes, yes, and there was something in the Daily Recollection, isn't it, about I can't remember now. All formations are transient, isn't it? And all formations mm-hmm. are subject to suffering. So, mm-hmm. and there is something heartbreaking about that in the world, that I see things that are heartbreaking to me.
Yes.
That's part of life, isn't it? Things coming to an end, and the new moment opens up, and it's that.
Yes. And to tie that in with everything is love, everything is conscious compassionate awareness, if we go in that direction, then there's nothing wrong with any of it. It's just a sympathy or an appreciation or connection with the human condition. That it's hard to be a human being. Right? And it's especially hard to be an unconscious human being. It's dreadful, awful, hideous.
Right. So it's like, okay, because this is something I'm sort of looking at. So there are all these unconscious human beings are doing what they're doing. And it is kind of heartbreaking to see that, really. And mm-hmm. to just be with that and be in love, you know, in a place of love, really, while that's all happening, and, yes. and to speak about it.
Yes, I have a lot of favorite Jesus quotes, and one of them is his final moment, I guess, where he said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And that always goes together for me with the Buddha saying we are children playing in a burning building, that devoted to ignorance with attention on ignoring, with a devotion to ego, we do all of these awful things, but we're not doing it with conscious awareness.
Oh, right, yes. So, I know I used to do some really awful things as well, and mm-hmm. I suppose that, I'm really grateful that I'm, to a large extent, I've been able to stop doing that.
Yes.
So, but it's like a kind of a place of there's nothing wrong with that, though.
It's what it takes.
Being able to be, yeah.
It's what it takes for us to wake up.
Oh, wow. Well, I think I might have to go off and have a cry now.
Me too, Colin. Me too. That seems like a perfect moment for it, doesn't it? Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you for that. That's really inspiring. Thank you.
Yeah. You take care of yourself, okay?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Colin. Well, Sherry, I have tears.
Mm.
Because it is that place of exquisite heartbreak mm-hmm. to experience an absence of love and mm-hmm. an excess of love, if you can mm-hmm. say that, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's a continuity of experience that is all life. And yeah. I often feel like it's the spectrum between compassion at one end and love at the other, where the compassion is holding that suffering, which is a lack of consciousness, and that love is the celebration of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And all of it in the context of love.
Yeah, and when you say that, I was looking at that continuum that you were laying out, and and just wondering, with absolutely no knowledge of this at all, but is it the movement to the unconditional love that draws that that unconsciousness toward itself? Because unconditional love is what we are. We recognize it, whether we feel like we can experience it or not. It takes a long time for people to get that we are that. That's why we recognize it. And listening to a story about how, yeah, but I'm not like that, is just part of the program ego runs. That's the movement along that. That's how we wake up, is being drawn to that unconditional love. I don't know.
Yes, and I think that's it's something that I always appreciate about this practice and what you always say about self-hate, right? That we need to end self-hate, because those aspects of ourselves that are outside of love, because we're listening to a voice of self-hate, is what keeps us in unconsciousness. That the love has to extend to embrace what is outside the unconditional as a way to move to completely unconditional, right? Everything.
Yeah.
That it's a way it feels like the negating.
Yeah, we put ego out of business that way.
Yeah.
If there's nothing about us that it can say, yeah, but you can't experience unconditional love because X, Y, and Z. If we say, no, I'm going to choose unconditional love for X, Y, and Z because of X, Y, and Z, then ego has nothing to do to us.
Right. Self-hate is how separation from the unconditional is maintained. So if we...
Yes.
Reverse that process, then. Yeah. Okay, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Okay. Hello, this is Christine.
Hello, Christine.
Hi.
You're allowed to cry, but not.
I'm allowed to cry, but not. But I'm not allowed to be sad for very long. So yes, I'm allowed to cry, but not to get depressed and be sad for very long.
Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't seem like too much of a negative, does it?
Well, it's still controlling what naturally just occur, I would think. Although, what would naturally occur, I think, is crying, and then just like children do, cry, and then, you know, now I'm doing something else. Now I'm done with that, and I'm doing something else.
Right. That did that. What now? Yes, which is a really good point, isn't it? That part of conditioning, part of identifying with ego, is learning to keep attention on the negative rather than letting it go and being present with what is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a big part of what we're conditioned into, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You have to think about that. Now you're sad, you're depressed. Now you have to be with that and work on that and accept that and feel that and think about that and figure that out. And
sounds like it's going to go on for a long time if I do all that.
Maybe a lifetime, huh?
Yeah.
Which would be fine with ego. Ego would say, yes, good. Yeah, let's live inside in this dark place for an entire lifetime. That's going to take us where we want to go.
No. Right.
Yeah. So you're allowed to cry, but not to cling to it. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe it's just I have a preference of not being. I don't want to feel squished, you know, depressed or sad. I guess I have a preference of not really wanting to live there.
Right. And yet, if we go back to what Colin was talking about, I bet you you want to be touched. You want to be moved by love, by life, by in all aspects of that, right? To feel it when something really painful happens to somebody, and to rejoice when something wonderful happens to somebody.
And that's a little bit different than that. There's different types of crying.
But
they all can just pass through, really. But that type of, you know, I just getting tears in my eyes from, wow, you know, this is, that these people are amazing, or wow, life is amazing. And just, mm-hmm. I mean, that's just another current moment experience, I guess, that wouldn't be a place where I would say that wouldn't be a place that would move into depression or sadness, really, for
right.
me, I don't think. Yeah, because I'm already
right.
heart-opened and that's, wow. Yeah.
That's right. And if it doesn't go into a conversation. Now, the one that interests me about that is, so we hear about something that is really awful, really painful and awful, and we are moved to tears from that place of, oh. Again, to me, as I parse these things, there are things that just happen. Okay, there's an earthquake, there's a volcano, there's a tsunami, whatever that kind of thing is, and terrible things happen to people, right? That's one situation. Then there are the situations where terrible things are happening to people because people are doing terrible things to people, which feels like a different situation. So for me, I can be moved in the first instance and look to see, well, how can I help? How can I contribute? And usually, if it's something that's happening on the other side of the world, it's giving money to the people who are there on the ground trying to help those people. If it's a people are doing terrible things to people, then the sadness over that might lead to what now is, how can I help? How might I be able to participate that could make this different? So it's not, you know, in the world of ego, emotion is a thing unto itself. And it is to be exploited in every way that ego can possibly exploit it. But the feelings that we're talking about, the sensations in the body and the responses to that can take us to a very different way of interacting with the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's good to look at, isn't it?
Yes, thanks.
Good to look into. Yeah, there's a lot there. It's funny, isn't it? We get this simple little kind of a partial question, right? I'm allowed to cry, but not, and away we go, exploring the known universe and our relationship with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, well,
thank you, Christine.
Thank you very much.
You are so welcome. Take care.
Okay, thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Christine. It not only took us to the ends of the universe, Sherry, but it also took us to the end of the show.
Wow. And they coincided.
And they're perfect alignment. So our assignment for today, so that we go to the next edge of the universe, is I allow myself to be angry, but not.
Record and listen.
All right. I'll allow myself to be angry, but not. Well, there was a funny moment last night, in group when it was pointed out that if we say that quickly, I'm allowed to be angry, but not record and listen. and so we were laughing about the importance of emphasizing that ... between those two things. We're definitely allowed to record and listen. Yeah.
Yes, I suspect it's true, though. We're allowed a lot of things that is on the left-hand corner, but we're not allowed to record and listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true. All right.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
So, enjoy the weekend, and if all goes well, we'll be talking on Monday.
Exactly. Thank you, Sherry. Right.
Go happy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.